Okay, we are going to continue our series called The Naked Truth today. We're talking about, I guess, sexuality and the effect that it has on us. Last week we talked about temptation and resisting temptations and some of the things out there that really kind of harness us and hold us back, and you know, talked about porn for a little bit and the control that it has over over just media in general, with you know, the fact that we wouldn't have VHS, DVD, DVD won over Laserdisc, and Blu-ray won over HD DVD because the porn industry chose to go that way. And we talked about some of those things and resisting those temptations and drawing boundaries for ourselves. And I think to help us draw some boundaries for ourselves, we need to define some things, and we need to understand what some things are. And so we're going to kind of start with one. What is abstinence? And I guess before we get to that, it's funny because how many people in here think that the Bible teaches that sex is dirty and sex is sinful? Anybody? I think a lot of people do think that. And to be honest, it doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. What it teaches is that the misuse of sex is sinful and dirty. And when you combine that with the media and you combine that with everything else, that's what makes it feel like, you know, when you hear that it's just so wrong and so sinful, and it's really not. And you look at abstinence, and I know you're probably thinking, okay, here we go. We knew this was coming, right? Because we hear this all the time. So here's the abstinence talk. And in some ways, yes, it is, but it's from a little bit different perspective, okay? Because do we really know what abstinence is? Is abstinence waiting till you're married? Yes. But I think it's the reason that you're waiting. It's not saying yes to waiting because it's sinful and it's dirty. It's saying yes to waiting because by waiting, you see how beautiful and awesome it really can be. And so that's what we're going to really sort of talk about today. So I asked you guys, if you were here on Wednesday, to think about what you thought the purpose of sex was. Did anybody think about that? Anybody have an answer for that? What's reproduce, okay. You're going to say reproduce. That's the only reason? Anybody have anything else? A gift. Lauren says a gift. Okay. Yes. Anybody have anything else? Show your love for one another. Sort of. We're going to hit on that. All right. I heard Josh McDowell sort of talk about some of this stuff, and I thought it was great, so I wanted to share it with you. And I totally agree with him. Once you kind of hear the explanation of this, it makes perfect sense. The three purposes of sex. Number one, everybody kind of hit on that. Procreation. All right? Reproduction, if you want to call it that. Genesis 1:28 says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it.'" All right, let's be honest here. If your parents hadn't messed around, none of you would be here. All right? I wouldn't be here. Val wouldn't have a big belly. You know, the whole nine. So, you know what I mean? Let's kind of just get that out. All right? If your parents hadn't done some stuff that I know is probably screwing up your lunch already by me talking about that, you know, I wouldn't have a youth department. So there's that. Number two, and these are all biblical, unity. Well, what do I mean by unity? Genesis 2:24 says, "This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one." It's more than just a physical act. And I think a lot of times the world puts it out there that sex is just a physical act. And yes, it definitely is that, okay? There's a lot of physical action involved. But we are more than physical beings. We are spiritual beings as well. And I think the spiritual aspect is where the unity takes place physically. Let's be honest, if it was just physical, if it was all just physical, the happiest person on earth would be a prostitute, okay? Seriously. I mean, if you really think about that. But it's more than that. How many times has that screwed things up? Because if it was just a physical thing and there was nothing more involved in it, then it wouldn't be such a cause of screwing up relationships and screwing up so many different things. And then the third one. This is the one where you guys are going to go, what? But I totally agree with this. Recreation. To have a good time. And you're like, what? You know? Let me explain, okay? You could also replace recreation with pleasure or like a gift. Yes, that is also what sex is for. You're supposed to enjoy it, all right? Let me read two verses from you in the Bible that prove it, all right? Now, do not get me wrong and walk out of here and go, well, Jay said we should just go have sex because it's fun, because God said we're supposed to. No, okay? That is not what Jay said, all right? Listen to what the Word of God says about this, all right? In fact, I would encourage all of you, and guys especially, read Proverbs 5, all right? Girls read it too. Guys especially, read this whole chapter. Proverbs 5, verses 18 and 19. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Okay? Rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lot of what comes before this verse is talking about sex. Okay? So it's saying, guys and ladies, have at it. All right? The wife of your youth. Okay? 19. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. That is scripture. That says, in the biblical sense, if you're married, have fun with it. Enjoy it. All right? That's what it's there for recreation. And I praise God for that. That also leads us to another term that you guys hear a lot, purity. Okay? This word's tossed around all the time. Purity when it comes to this subject. And the interesting thing about purity, you know, Sleepover Sisters, you guys do the purity point thing. And the thing about purity is it's kind of tied to abstinence and all that stuff and gets sort of that, you know, I guess weird connotation, if you will. But as I said today, we're going to define some of our terms here. The term purity, what does it really mean? Purity really means this, living according to original design. Living according to original design. Purity is not just about sex. All right, I could do a whole other thing about just purity, pure living, like top to bottom. Yes, sex is involved in that, but original design, meaning the way that God originally designed us to be, okay, in every aspect of our life, not just sexual. So that being said, if we are to live pure lives, if by following God we're supposed to follow purity, then we need to follow our original design, and the original design was a man and a wife, okay, before that happens, and there's a reason for that. The reason for that is because God loves us. Now, this was something else that I asked you guys to think about if you were here on Wednesday, and this should be interesting. I want your definition of love. Anybody, give me your definition of love. Brittany. I'm just calling on people now. Okay. I'm asking for your personal definition.
Like, being totally wrapped up and knowing that they're the person. Not, like,
infatuated,
but just, like, knowing that they're the one.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? You have no idea what it means? What love means? It's a word that's so tossed around. You know, oh, I love you so much. You know, okay, I don't love somebody the same way that I love Quaker steak wings. Okay? So there's a difference there, you know. If we had to define love, I'm going to define love in three words, all right? But I'm going to show you how we're going to get to it first. Look in Ephesians 5, 28 through 29, all right? I got it on the screen so you don't have to look it up if you don't want to. It says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, okay? He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. And you're looking at that and probably thinking, I'm not really seeing a definition of love there, Jay. But it's there, okay? Ought to love their own wives as they love their own bodies. Ladies, listen up. If you don't get with a guy, if the guy that you're going to get with and marry, if he doesn't care about himself, he's not going to care about you, okay? Now, there's a difference here. I'm not talking about being, like, narcissistic, all right? Narcissistic meaning like vain, all about himself. That's not what I'm saying. But if he doesn't care about his own body, he's not going to care about you. If he doesn't care about the temple that God's given him, he's not going to care about you. All right, that's a good place to start there if you're evaluating who you're dating or who you're not dating. All right, so there's two things out of this. So love your own self. Hate it, never hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. All right, let's take those two words, nourish and cherish. What's nourish mean? Anybody know what nourish means? And you're probably thinking like feed yourself. It really means like to bring to maturity, okay? Luke 2:52 talks about how Jesus was brought to maturity, and he was brought to maturity in four different aspects. And you can look up this verse later if you want. Mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. He was raised to mature in those four areas. So we need to mature in those four areas. All right? So to bring to maturity means to nourish. All right? To nourish, to provide. All right? Cherish. Cherish basically means to care for, to protect. All right? 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. It specifically calls out this sin as this one can do a ton of damage. All right? So to protect means to cherish. So how are we defining love here? As I said, three words. And if you really think about it, it makes perfect sense. To protect and provide. That's how you can define love. To protect and provide. All right. If somebody really loves you, they're protecting. Every decision that they make is going to follow probably those two things. To protect and to provide. Think about the things that God puts in place for us. You know, he talks about in 1 Corinthians 6:18 when it says that you know, that sin affects a body more than anything. Why is he telling us that? Not because he doesn't want us to enjoy the recreation of sex, okay? He's telling us that because of the pure way that he designed us to be, the original design of us, to protect and to provide. Because if we don't follow God's plan, things are going to get jacked up and things aren't going to work right. You follow? This makes sense, doesn't it? This really kind of, when I heard this, And I saw this definition of love, I'm like, dude, you know, it just like, it all just like makes sense. You think about everything God does. You think about the way when you think about true love and you think about somebody who really loves someone and cares for them, this just makes perfect sense to me. Now think about this in terms of like how the Bible talks about what sexual sin can do and to run from it and how no other sin affects the body the way that it does. Let's talk about STDs for a second. All right? You want to talk about how sexual sin affects the body. 40 years ago, you know how many STDs there were? Two. Gonorrhea and syphilis. Both are curable. Okay? You know how many there are now? 39. 39. You know how many are incurable? 17. 17 of them are incurable. Completely incurable. 63% of all women in college right now, 63% of all women in college who are sexually active have an STD called HPV. I don't know how many of you have heard of that one. Yes, human papillomavirus. And it's got various levels of it. Some people that don't even know that they have it. But 63% of all women in college have that, all right? Think you can beat the odds? And I know what you're thinking. Well, you know, I'll just you know, wear a condom or whatever. Well, guess what? HPV can be passed even if you wear one, all right? Because moisture in other places that condoms don't cover can pass it, okay? So the only real safe sex, if you don't want to get HPV, is to wear like a full body condom wetsuit thing, all right? And I'm telling you, by the time you put that on, she ain't gonna be in the mood, fellas, you know? It can be passed through. I'm just being serious. You know? It can be passed orally. All right? Oral sex has become something that nobody even thinks anything of. All right? They're just like, yeah, it's whatever. You know, they don't even put it in that same category. Well, guess what? This can be passed that way. And this is just one of 17 incurable STDs that you never hear about. Why do you think we have all those? Because no other sin so greatly affects the body. We are such an oversexed culture that everybody's just going around doing whatever and whoever. Let's be honest. You know, show that's on TV right now that makes me want to throw up. Secret Life of the American Teenager. You guys knew I was going to hit that eventually. That show makes me want to puke. They say on that show that they're trying to encourage you guys, or that they're trying to help you guys to not have sex. That is the biggest load of junk I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I just saw a couple of scenes on it from when I was watching The Soup, and oh my gosh, there was like a 30-second scene where this guy and this girl who are in high school are talking about like all the people that they've like slept with and stuff. I'm like, good grief. You guys at a brothel or what's going on? You know what I mean? It's putting this false perception in your mind and desensitizing, like we talked about last week. Yes. The Pregnancy Pact?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Yeah. Who's signing up for that, you know? You see, yeah, Val was telling me about that the other day, actually. I think she watched it. Here's the thing, guys, okay? We talk about all these different things, all right? And we talk about, you know, the consequences, if you will, for not following God's original design, for not following purity in the area of sexuality. Now, granted, anybody in here who has completely lived a pure life, raise your hand. Exactly. You know, none of us have. We do our best to follow, okay? But in this area, there's some serious consequences, as we've talked about. Now, here's the thing. I'm hoping that none of you are sitting here thinking that, like, well, Jesus won't forgive me because I've already gone way too far, and I've already done this, and I've already done that. And I know some of you guys are thinking, you know, maybe Jesus won't forgive me because of all that. And I want you to know that that's a lie from Satan completely. That's a complete lie from Satan. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. He forgives and forgets. But the thing that everybody, you know, the thing that you got to keep in mind is he may not remove the consequences. He might, but he may not. He's still there to forgive. He's still there to bring healing. And here's the thing. I've seen this before. What's this worth? $1. What's this worth now? $1. It's still worth $1. No matter how much I crumple it up, no matter how much I stomp on it, it's still worth $1. You still have value to God, no matter how much you think you've been beat up or haven't been beat up. It's still worth $1. You're still worth something. No, you can have it. It's $1. Buy a pop. You're still worth something to God. Everybody has value to God. Every single person has value to God. And it's only through his grace and through his forgiveness, through the cross, that we can truly start to be healed, that you can, you know, begin to reclaim. I use the word grace, and I think a lot of times we don't totally understand grace, and I've used this a couple of times before. Does anybody know what grace stands for? G-R-A-C-E? I've said this a few times. See if anybody remembers it. Leah got it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Because of what Christ did for us, we get the riches of God. And we get the riches of heaven. Don't you dare sit here and think that you're invaluable or not worth anything because of mistakes that you've made in the past, because that's not at all how God looks at you. Not at all. So our connection point for the day is simply this: abstain or reclaim. Now that you've defined your terms and you understand what love is, what purity is, why God wants us to steer clear of sexual sin, I hope that you guys today will draw that line and say, I'm going to abstain because that's how God originally designed me to be. Or if you've made that mistake, you can reclaim that today. You can reclaim that today, and nobody in here, and especially God, is going to look at anybody different. This is my challenge for you guys today.